Robert Scaper here from Making Your Miles Count, doing a little bit of an addition to a Driver Inc. podcast that I produced, I guess it was last week or so. There's another article that just came out. I wanted to tag on a little bit more comment with regards to the entire controversy. And this article came out in trucknews.com. I'd like to say her last name, but it's from Christina S-H-C-H, I don't know how to pronounce that, E-D-R-I-N-A. The title of the article is Government Takes Driver Inc. Issue Super Seriously, Minister Anand. I'm going to go three paragraphs here. I think it all has to do with the topic. The Driver Inc. issue remains on the federal government's radar and is on the desks of the Minister of Transportation and Labor, said Anita Anand, President of the Treasury Board. Speaking to Angela Splinter, CEO of Trucking HR Canada, at the 10th Annual Women with Drive Leadership Summit. At this point, I can say I'll take that feedback to them, including people clapping when you raised the point with me. I'm certainly in close touch with the Labor Minister, O'Regan. I know he's taking it super seriously. The next paragraph, Anand noted the Treasury Board needs to hear industry's feedback on all processes and procedures in place to create more fluid and resilient supply chains through programs like Let's Talk Federal Regulations. I assumed this last paragraph still had to do with the Driver Inc. If you keep on going, it talks about International Women's Day and the like, diversity and inclusion and all the other. This is a very short article. I'm not sure what the last half had to do with Driver Inc., but anyway, when it comes to the Driver Inc. model and the Driver Inc. controversy, a lot of articles have been written on it, and they are, number one, they're extremely confident that the entire model is illegal. That's a very strong word that they very much imply. And they say, oh, it's just a matter of time, and the hammer is coming down, the hammer is coming down. This is another example of articles, media articles, focusing on the Driver Inc. or Incorporated Driver model, and really not saying a whole lot other than saying that it's on somebody's desk. First of all, from a Canada Revenue Agency perspective, if it was in completely an absolute do not pass go, do not collect $200, there is no debate about Driver Inc. at all, why is it even on the minister's desk? CRA would be after the individuals immediately, but it's not. And that's what my prior podcast talked about. Just the fact that it's on somebody's desk and they're taking it very seriously means that this is not in Canada Revenue Agencies. It's not on their radar to enforce this. It's now political. And that's the reason why it's on somebody's desk. I still personally believe there's a 20 to 30% chance that the Driver Inc. or Incorporated Driver will be able to be allowed. Well, that still means that 70 to 80% that it's going to be defeated and shut down. But it is not a slam dunk like they're talking about. To some degree, when they use words like, I'm certainly in close touch with the Labor Minister, and here's another, at this point I can say I'll take the feedback to them, including people clapping when you raise the point with me. Now, that means that this is not an issue that the government themselves are actually saying, oh, we're going to handle this. This is top of priority. They're doing it based on the media, like in this case, this article, saying it's a big issue and we would do it and we'll take it to concern because everybody's clapping about it. Yay. But they're not bringing it up. The MTO is not bringing it up. The CRA is not bringing it up. This is probably the lobbying of the Canadian Trucking Alliance and other like groups. So it is not a slam dunk, like they say. CRA has not made an absolute ruling on it. And as we found out last podcast, CRA doesn't always, their rulings aren't even, don't even always make sense sometimes. So they are leaving this in the hands of politicians. And whether that comes very quickly or it doesn't come very quickly depends entirely on the next election. It could be 2 years and the next election before anything ever comes off of that desk. So until then, it keeps right on going. Now, I want to emphasize one other thing. This may not be very popular, but KSETA. I was talking to a carrier owner and also a VP a little while ago, and one of the things that both of them actually stated was that the Driver Inc. model gives an advantage to a carrier that utilizes them, and that's why they're undercutting the rates, and that's how they are undercutting the rates. And I ran through the numbers my last podcast and showing that it's only about 10% of the 35% that determines, and that's just CPP and EI. So what they're doing is, it's so minuscule, it's not going to make a big difference. So in other words, if I snap my fingers, or anybody snaps their fingers, and suddenly, okay, Driver Inc. is not the issue anymore, I can almost guarantee you that the undercutting that they're all complaining Driver Inc. is causing is not going to go away. Because their business model, a lot of the Asians, is business model is different than the traditional Canadian model. Let me give you an example. Just think about this logically for a second. I've been to actually several trucking companies that were Asian managed or Asian owned. Here's the situation. Their head offices look very, very differently than the head offices of the traditional Canadian or North American model. Some of these carriers that are complaining they're being undercut have 10, 20, 30 million dollar head offices, glass, brass, unbelievable millions of dollars put into these beautiful buildings. That costs money. That is classified as overhead, administrative overhead. And do you know what I don't find very often in the Asian carriers? Administrative overhead. They very much appear humble in their means. Just the fact of administrative overhead itself can create a competitive advantage over the traditional great big giant carriers who are complaining about Driver Inc. I think that is a great big issue compared to Driver Inc. It's immaterial. Realistically, the Driver Inc., in my opinion, is immaterial to a competitive advantage. But maybe some of the North American carriers can sell some of their $30, $40 million office buildings and be a little bit more humble so that they can compete with people who are not as concerned with the luxury of head office. That's just my thoughts. But realistically, I see owner operators and very, very small carriers with virtually no administration at all. It's run out of the basement of their house with 4, 5, 10 trucks, and their wife is doing the receivables, and their administration is next to nothing. I think when it comes to a really, really tight year like 2023 and 24, it was and is, administration costs is way bigger burden on a trucking company than is pretty much anything else. Realistically, right down our street from where my office is a $40 million building that was just built for a company that does hog processing. And they were halfway through building this $40 million beautiful building, by the way, and their parent company went bankrupt. And then a whole bunch of their subsidiaries went bankrupt. So here they got a $40 million investment, and what do? They try and rent out little offices. Sometimes when, whether it's trucking companies or whether it's any kind of business, the owners like to stroke their egos a little bit too much. And they say, man, we want nicer carpet. We want brass and glass and whatever. And realistically, they can't afford it. And they take it from the little guy sometimes. or they complain when they're undercut because other people don't make that choice and decisions. Sometimes they make really good decisions. Like, I was just talking to a guy who says, during the incredible prices of highway tractors in 2022 and 2023, 2022, I guess, guys were selling them for 2-3 times what they were worth. Guys who really knew what they were doing, they didn't buy with excessive prices like that. So they were smart in that regard. But are they smart when they build these $30 million office buildings? I don't know. It really, I don't want to know. I kind of think, you know what, when it really comes down to it, some of the brick and mortar choices and decisions that carriers have, they are less practical and they're more ego-based. But that's just my thoughts. If you want to hear more comments like this, subscribe to our channel. We got a vast array of different topics that we talk about. And probably our key area is income tax for independent operators. And if you're not using non-taxable benefits, you're not saving $12,000+ per year. Subscribe, find out what exactly we do differently than anyone else. Have a good trip.